The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the host. We advise you to go out and think for yourself.
Hello and welcome to Clara, Conversations on Shinto, a podcast where two friends and fellow practitioners of Shinto in the Anglosphere, that's the English-speaking world, talk about their faith, its cultural, historical, and other contexts, and try to bring knowledge and community to others. This is episode 12, Cleaning House. I'm Nairi.
And I'm not. I'm sorry, everyone. I've been involved with Girl Stream Team's Queers Fight Transphobia, as has Nairi, and Sleet is an infectious personality.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But no, in more seriousness, I am Zoe. It's great to be here, folks.
It's been a hot minute. We have had a time.
Yes. We really need to actually sit down and start making that hashtag screaming merch.
Yes, we do. We do. And hey, I found a new venue for it, so we might actually have a good candidate.
Excellent.
For that. Yeah, cuz you know we've been sort of like, even though we've had a little bit of an unplanned hiatus here because, you know, life has happened. A friend of the podcast, Dr. Caitlin Ugaretz, is now at Nanzan University.
Hi, Caitlin.
And has been talking us up to her colleagues, who are some of the preeminent figures in the international community of scholars of Japanese religion. And it's a little bit intimidating to hear that, you know, Clara got name-dropped around, Aika Rotz and Clark Chilson and so on. And like, holy shit, I know these people.
Yeah, we're, I was not expecting to get this big at episode 12.
Yeah, and we're seeing people reference Clara or recommend Clara who we don't even know,
which is heartening. But as we are here, it is June. It is the second week of June, and folks, it's been a heck of a half of a year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be great to take a nice, long shower to clean off everything that's happened this whole year? So far, at least.
Wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, good news for you.
As it turns out, good news, everyone!
But no, sincerely, we are going to be talking about, again, purification. And, again, we're going to touch some base on some definitions on what purification is, what purification isn't, what we are purifying ourselves from, and what that means in this context of the middle of the year.
Right.
So, Nairi, how do you want to open up with this here?
So, something that I think you and I have dealt with quite a bit, and, you know, we come back to both on air and also, you know, privately, is this notion of having to do the work to untangle the cultural Christianity from our baseline assumptions and definitions of the world.
That's fair, yes.
Now, why do I bring that up? I bring that up because there's an operative concept here that we need to better appreciate before we talk about purification, and that is the concept of kegare. And sometimes you see that shorthanded as sin, but it's a ritual impurity, ritual defilement, depending on the situation, I would render it as, but it's basically not sin, right? It's not like sinning in the Bible.
Yeah, it's like the way I've always said it was like more spiritual pollution.
Yeah,
like
it's really like there's more room I think to have a nuanced meaning there, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I bring up the whole concept of spiritual pollution because sometimes you just get into a funk, and that in its own way is kegare. It's misfortune, it's listlessness, it's restlessness, it's aimlessness, it's stagnation in a way.
Yeah, you know, that's actually, it's good that you use that term for it, because one of the ways that you clean away kegare is in moving water.
Mm-hmm.
Or fresh water of some kind.
This is where you get the image of people standing underneath waterfalls and everything.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people will go and sit or stand under a waterfall and, you know, chant the Norito or whatever to clear away kegare and, you know, cultivate spiritual attainment and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the gist of it is that if kegare is this sort of defilement, stagnation, listlessness, you're sort of getting it into the muscle memory in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking you as the vessel for that, and you're putting yourself into this current of water that carries it all away. Or if you're by the ocean, you know, you go into the tide and you have the salt, which is a purifying agent of its own. But, you know, I can give the example from my own life, because my financial situation is so straitened. I really can't go places I want and need to go. So my world has basically been one corner of Pittsburgh for the better part of 6 years now. It's gotten to the point where it's been sort of weighing on me and hurting me. And recently, thanks to a partner being very generous and bringing me along for the ride, I got to go to a convention in the state of Wisconsin. And as I was coming back, you know, as we were passing through Chicago, I thought about how I was looking at the world with new eyes, right? I was in these cities I'd never seen before. I'd been in O'Hare Airport once many years earlier, but, you know, I'd never actually, like, properly seen the city of Chicago, even from a distance. And then I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to choose things to do in my corner of Pittsburgh that are in walking distance, that will take me out of the house, will get me somewhere on, you know, on my own two legs. You know, I could take pictures or do whatever and then come back. And wouldn't you know it, it's been helping. It's been helping me rebuild this sense of flow, this sense of vitality. And I feel like that's sort of a good, you know, I'm a pastor's daughter. I can't help the sermon illustration, you know. I feel like this is a good object lesson of cleansing, of using movement and fresh perspective, fresh motion to clear away stagnation. Now, since we don't want to go too far off topic here, let me bring it back and say, okay, so we've got kegare. How do you clear away kegare? The process is harae, purification.
And again, if we're talking about, like, purification in this context of clearing away stagnation, clearing away pollution, boy howdy, that's really poignant, as we are in a position where Canada's on fire.
I've been streaming here in Pittsburgh for the past couple weeks every weekday, and it's gotten to the point recently where I'm not even in the direct path of the smoke, but I'm feeling it in my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to bring out the machine that does the second round of air purification to sit near me. And so, you know, I've been thinking a little bit about that too. Like, oh, that's clearing away the kegare in the air.
Mm-hmm. And that's like a huge chunk of it. And again, a lot of that is out of our hands. A lot of this pollution, a lot of this negative energy happens to us. It's bad luck. Yakuan.
Yes. Yes.
Yakunan. Yakunan.
Yakunan, yeah. Ill and yaku, like misfortune, nan, suffering, difficulty.
Mm-hmm. And TBQH, there has been a lot of that in my life here within the last 6 months. Nari, thank you for being a good friend through all of it.
Ever and always.
Ever and always. But it's good to actually take some time and talk things through. Get a better view on not only your perspective, but the perspective of others around you, especially if this kegare, this yakunan, is because of poor communication, because of poor relationship boundaries, because of interpersonal stuff that gets complicated that is not completely within your power. Because that also can be a big source of this. And sometimes you have to sit down and just say, I need to change my perspective on this. and I need to change, which in its own right is emotion.
Yeah. You have to sort of, again, think of the waterfall, think of the current of the river, think of the motion of the tide.
Mm-hmm. And, heck, sometimes even some of our own physical rituals of just, like, getting exercise in every day is part of... Would you actually agree with that, that it's, like, its own form of harai?
So, you know, that actually gets a little bit into stuff that I've talked about with, in the context of therapy, regarding neurodivergence and reclaiming executive function by way of physical activity.
Mm.
Because this is a thing with, you know... at least it can be a thing in people like me who have ADHD, where if you have a certain amount of physical activity, you sort of pick up the baseline of your somewhat deficient executive function in a day. And I noticed after like the first year of the pandemic, I noticed that because the world had stopped and, you know, I had basically been confined to this one house. You know, I'd barely even been getting out onto the street. I realized that I need to walk in order to be able to do work, because otherwise I'm sort of like laying around and, you know, I'm sort of dissociating as I doom scroll, as many of us do. But I found that if I walked first a mile, then 2 miles, etc., that I felt better, that I had a clearer head, and that I was able to get things done, stay on task. And now I walk 4.5 miles on most days, and I don't do it because I'm in love with hiking. I do it because it's an investment in my ability to function. And in its own way, I think that it applies to what we're saying.
Yeah, like, in my case, it's a lot of yoga because I work in a field where I have to go out, move about, and stand or sit at locations that are kind of confining. I had to, like, be in cubicles with standing desks fixing laptops and desktops a lot of the time. So I just generally crank the hide up on that thing and just stand in tree pose as I pull apart the motherboards and everything. And I know it's not the same as walking, but it is in its own right a type of movement. It is a type of endurance movement.
Yeah.
But what is then harai?
So the ever-ready Kokugakuin Encyclopedia of Shinto defines harai as purification, the process of purifying the mind and body of accumulated sins and defilements by means of ablutions, so getting wet, nisogi, or other rites and recitations. Representative of these are ceremonies performed in the presence of the kami with silk and paper cuttings. Heihaku is the term here used, but can also be, you know, the other term for this is like a peisoku, a bunten, the purification one. The term is also sometimes used to refer to the penalty levied on those who transgress against the social order by bringing defilement, kegare, into festival grounds, saijo, and the community. In regard to festivals, the purification of mind and body on the occasion of the divine rites is called yōgoto harai, blessing ceremony, as opposed to the magagoto harai, which is a ceremony to ward off calamities and invite good fortune. In ancient times, there were also the terms yoshino harai and ashino harai, good purification, evil purification. Suzuki Shigetane interprets the former as penalty for undetected sins, and the latter as penalty for detected sins. Now, they use the term sins here, but again, we refer you back to the Buddhist concept of expedient means and the fact that this is people writing across two languages.
And pollution carries different connotations within English. Like,
exactly.
Expedient means... We can't just rely on expedient means fully to hand wave this away. Even just pulling it up here, kagare from kokugakuin is read as a polluted and evil condition, a concept opposite of purity. That gets it across more accurately than just sin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We again, sin is a loaded term for us here in the Anglosphere. Mm-hmm. So we need to be conscious of this.
And that's why we hammer hard on it here, folks.
Yeah.
Because it's not sin. It's just the opposite of purity. It's polluted. It's evil. Taboo?
Taboo, disordered,
Yeah. Unseemly.
Unseemly. Okay, so there are other forms, of course, of haraie, rather than simply involving the water. You know, you got the big, the gohei, the wand with the paper streamers, and the yeah. priest or the miko, you know, shakes it around you.
The benten and everything. The baten? Benten?
Bonten.
Thank you.
Although that's a Buddhist term, and in some places people get persnickety about it. There are other ways that you can do this. For instance, thing that I'm particularly interested in right now because of writing that Zoe, you're familiar with what that I've been doing, is the idea of purification by way of hamaya, having an arrow that clears away kegare, that breaks misfortune.
Oh yeah, the purification arrows.
Yeah, yeah. And in the old days, you could also have with a kabura, with a turnip head, on the end. So you could have a purification arrow that whistled if you shot it.
Oh yeah, yeah, the signal arrows, yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's another. That's just another way of doing that.
I mean, same with throwing beans out the front door.
Beans out the front door, or you know, beans at oni.
Mm-hmm.
But the sort of the centerpiece that you'll see this in at a shrine's, you know, regular rituals, is the reciting of the O Harai no Norito, the great heavenly Norito, and at least at some shrines, I'm not sure if at all, there's a recitation of that once a month. I know Shusei Inari of America does a live stream of that.
Yep.
You and I have attended before together.
And probably are going to attend again.
Yes, I would welcome that. But the Norito sort of invokes the great spirits of... the Haraedo no Kami, the four kami mentioned by name in this particular Norito, to purify the central land from its imperfections and pollution, and so on. But that's sort of the thing that the priest will recite in order to, on a monthly basis, help the parishioners, the Ujiko, you know, find that new balance, find that new...
Hold the community, too.
Centering. And it brings everyone together, yeah. There's different permutations of this, of course. Again, you know, we come back to our big point of Shinto is an umbrella term, and you know, at an individual shrine or within an individual shrine faith, there may be a different way of doing things. There is a Shinto priest who has a YouTube channel that you and I enjoyed very much. Now,
oh yeah, the singing Shinto priest.
The singing Shinto priest, Soshi, did a rendition of the O Harai no Norito, but as, like, was it a rap? How would you describe that? It had a nice beat.
Yes, it had a very nice beat at the background of it. I'm not entirely sure what I would describe it as, just very good.
Sort of a hip-hoppy style of sound, yeah. I think.
Back on topic!
Back on topic. All right. So, but there's different forms that this can take. The haraie can take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have the O Harai, the you know, the great heavenly Norito. You can have the use of hamaya. You can have misogi. You can go out into the tide. You can have any number of things. But relevant to the time of year,
mm-hmm.
because we like to be topical here at Clara.
Most times, when life permits.
Most
it.
Times. We try. Mm-hmm. We try so hard.
Oh, do we ever.
But topical to the time of year is the big mid-year purification.
Nagoshi no Harai.
Yes.
And of which I will also be attending the Shusei Inari one. I've already filled out my little bits of information for that, sent it in with a offering.
Excellent.
Because, well, one, support the shrine, and two... No, yeah, just, that's it. Support your local shrines, folks.
Support your local shrine.
You want more Shinto in your daily life here in the Americas? Start finding out who to talk to on seeing about getting a shrine faith set up in your location. Reach out to priests and start talking to them. Official priests.
And yes, Start talking to licensed priests or licensed lay leaders and understand that, you know, to use the konkokyo way of putting it, kami atte koso no ujiko, ujiko atte koso no kami. Kami are because ujiko are, and ujiko are because kami are. The term, the Thich Nhat Hanh term, interbeing, I think, is a good way of putting that in brief. So it's just, you know, it takes effort, it takes volunteering, it takes money, it takes paperwork. It's a whole thing, but you need to build that community and those connections first. Anyway.
So, Nagoshi no Harai, it is the mid-year prayer to purify, to rid oneself of the first half of the year's bad luck, bad vibes, pollution, all that jazz. It is, again, a prayer to purify here. Much like the... How was it again? The Great Heavenly Norito?
The Oharai no Norito.
Oharai no Norito. But because this is in the middle of the year, it's a bigger, more ritualized thing that includes more steps. Including some of this is the hitogata, which are kind of like paper dolls. And that's just a very broad, generalized thing to give you an image of what it is. What it does is a lot different. I don't know if they quite count as an ofuda or not. Like a gofu or something.
Oh, the hitogata? Yeah. See, that gets into... I feel like that gets into Omyodo a little bit because there's some cross-pollination.
Oh boy, how is there ever cross-pollination? Alright, so we should probably see about reaching out to someone and talking about that.
The hitogata, to my eyes, right, looks like a shikigami.
Yeah, like, especially within the pop culture consensus of it all, like, if you're thinking kind of like those weird little paper dolls from Spirited Away, you are on the right track, kind of. Talisman? Should I use talisman there? I mean, I guess, like, if we're...
Expedient means might,
here
might,
is, the, like, the...
Again, yeah. talisman might be the term to use...
I mean, I guess, like, you could go with poppets.
Yeah, but that gets into very loaded Western pagan concepts. But no, screaming.
Isn't ever, but it's a paper doll that you...
I'm seeing it referenced as paper doll.
Okay, we'll just use paper doll. We'll use paper doll. Okay.
Yeah.
So the hitogata is a paper doll that you would write your name on. You'd write your age, and going by Shusei and Ari here, because this is who I'm with. Hasegawa-sensei, if you are listening, thank you for all your hard work. I appreciate you deeply.
Yes, you are important to us.
Very much so. But because I'm with the Shusei and Ari, you would write down your name, your age, your address. Don't tell me your address. This is the internet, folks. Protect yourself. And then you'd mail it into Shusei and Ari... Reverend Hasegawa-sensei, and she would, I think, burn it. It's like, generally you burn these dolls, right?
Yes.
But yes. Before you would do that, before you'd mail it off, and before you would... before you'd mail it off, but after you'd write your name on it and everything, you would take stock of your body, take stock of your luck, take stock of what you feel your foibles are that you need to improve on. And then you take that little hitogata and rub it on, like, say I'm suffering, like, bad ankle pains, because you know I have had some football injuries back when I was a teenager, and my ankles will actually ruin my day if I'm not careful. I take the hitogata, I rub on my ankle, and I say, please heal my ankle pain, please help me here, please help me where I am weak, help me become greater, kind of thing. And I use Help Me Become Greater because it feels right for me. Again, I'm just a poet on the internet. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. So you then send it off to the priest. They would burn it. And this would happen on the last day of June 30th. And You can get some of these for, like, even your pets, your vehicle. Like, because I'm reading the information here for the vehicle one. To use vehicle katashiro, because that's the difference there. It's the paper cutout of, like, a pet or a dog, a pet or a vehicle here. You wipe around the steering wheel, saying your wishes, like, please no accident or mechanical issues. Now, you should also see to make sure that you breathe upon your hitogata, your katashiro, as well before mailing it off. Again, this is all just ritualized here because it is supposed to be a representation of you and the impurities, the kagare, the bad luck, the bad vibes, the oh, everything that just kind of weighs on you for the first 6 months of the year being mailed off and burned. That's how you get rid of it. You burn it. Again, my understanding of it, there are. I think, like, another popular one was, like, using water again.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Like, all my like, recalling is that you burn it. Like, you would burn
Yeah.
an ofuda, a burn a, omyori? Omomori. Omomori.
Omomori, yeah.
Ha! We really need to sit down and do an Omyoto episode one of these days.
Yep.
Maybe for Halloween, folks. Maybe for Halloween.
Maybe for Halloween, yeah.
Anyway, but that is Nagoshi no Horai. You use the hitogata to help symbolize your own purification of yourself. You go listen to the great prayer and everything here. And then on top of that, there is also the. And beg pardon while I look through my own notes. Well, let's see if I can actually say it here, folks. Chinoa.
Chinoa.
Ah, yes. Okay, so, Doc, a Chinoa, from what I remember here, and from what I will be getting from Shusei Inari, is a grass ring. Now, at a shrine, it's generally a big heck-off grass ring that people walk through.
Yeah, it's sort of you duck through it and yeah, it's about person sized.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not entirely certain what that is for. Can you help a gal out?
Well, going through the ring is itself an act of purification. So, my recollection is that you sort of, the priest leads a procession and the Ujigo sort of do a figure eight through the ring, and there's a thing that they chant. I forget the exact verbal formula, but you sort of, by passing through the ring in that pattern with the community, I think like a couple times, you're supposed to also clear away kagare. Now, for a shrine like Shusei Inari, which doesn't have a physical structure yet, that's not something that is necessarily within means, but at the soon-to-be former Tsubaki Grand Shrine of America, they did it, and they're about to do it for the last time. And in Japan, you'll see this all over the place. But yeah, it's that in and of itself is its own act of purification. And Kokugakuin also describes some uses of not necessarily a full-sized chinoa, but like a little guy, like a
Just a little guy,
pocket-sized
yeah.
almost.
And that's the kind I'm getting. It's a 6-inch number here.
But there's in the Bungo no Kuni Fudoki, there's the story of Somin Shorai, who was a legendary hero that tied a magical ring of braided grass, so the chinoa, around his waist and escaped an epidemic. And apparently others in other cases in ancient times, so it was attached to the waist, hung around the neck, and was a way of escaping kagare and illness and so on. So
Cool.
that's its own thing too.
Well, when I get asked why do I have a ring of grass around my waist, I'm gonna say religious reasons. And, like, I guess if we're talking about purification, like, I've equated a lot of this to sometimes taking care of your own mental health, taking care of your living situation, taking care of cleaning up after yourself, this, that, and the other. And that still ties to this whole concept of pollution. That still ties to this whole concept of movement. This still ties to this whole concept of trying to get your life in order. And
Yeah.
I think, honestly, having that as a midsummer ritual is a good thing. And keep that one in. I want people to know I'm human.
Right.
Like, what can be said about that? What can really be said about that here that we haven't really said? The world is tough, the world is hard, and we all feel the weight of it crush down on us at one point or another. Why shouldn't we take time to find a way to reach out to each other, to the universe, to everyone around us and say, hey, I'm feeling a little down. Hey, I am trying to do better. Hey, I am trying to get my life in order, trying to clean up after myself.
Yeah.
And this is also why I think purification, harai in its own way, is a part about being vulnerable too. Being open about these things.
Yeah, you have to be to get it rolling.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, Doc, I don't think I have much else to say on the subject. How about you?
I want to, again, not to put too fine a point on it, but I want to, again, remind our listeners that understand that, you know, if you are as our Anglophone audience are most likely coming to this with a Christian set of presuppositions and sort of cultural sort of stuff baked into the cultural consciousness. So in your consideration of kegare, again, remember, it's not sin in the Christian sense. And that if we can find anew that motion, that vitality, that...
in some cases, fury.
Fury in some cases. Yeah, right.
Energy. Passion.
I mean... That passion.
Yes, passion, you know, works better.
This is something that I've struggled with over the years, because, you know, as an ADHD person, something that I deal with is emotional dysregulation. And, you know, time and age and minding when and how I'm caffeinated and how I'm managing executive function has helped me balance things out. But I've realized that it isn't that anger is useless. It's that there's the, like I describe it as, there's the anger that burns, and then there's the anger that you can use as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say it, I'm letting my anger cool. I'm not saying I'm going to let things go. What I'm saying is I'm waiting so that I don't get, and this is kegare again, if you get caught up in the fire of your own anger, you're going to burn with it. By waiting until my anger cools, and I can, you know, think of the image of a sword being forged, mm-hmm. right? You know, you have to wait until it cools a little bit so that you can start to put an edge on it. I'm waiting for it to cool so I can start to sharpen it and use it to clear a path. And that has its place.
And I guess I'm going to bring up a quote from probably one of my most favorite authors of all time, Terry Pratchett. And it was concerning a character of his. Granny Weatherwax was often angry. She considered it one of her strong points. Genuine anger was the world's greatest creative forces, but you had to learn how to control it. That didn't mean you let it trickle away. No, it meant you dammed it, carefully let it develop a working head, let it drown whole valleys of the mind, and then, just when the whole structure was about to collapse, open a tiny pipeline at the base and let the hard iron stream of wrath power the turbines of revenge.
People ask me how I finished my PhD.
Mm-hmm.
This is how.
And in its own way, that is still an action, that is still a movement, that is still a plan.
Yes.
That is still you finding a use for your anger. Because I write angry. Because this is how I even deal with my own kegare.
We have to remember to disentangle ourselves from some of these, you know, Western Christian presuppositions. There's this idea that you just have to let everything go. You have to forgive and forget.
No, you don't.
You don't. You don't. You really don't. Not to mention, you, especially when you know, there hasn't been any attempt at reconciliation or justice, you really don't have to let things go.
Exactly.
I think that what you can do is you can remember, again, that as long as you make an effort to not get caught up in the fire of your own wrath, as long as you remember to sort of to keep the current moving, to keep, you know, keep it flowing onward, you know, you can move through life with, you know, some measure of confidence and peace. And of course, you know, if you do fall into it, and, you know, if things stagnate and whatnot, that's not the end of the world.
It happens
right?
to the best of us.
That's what we're talking about today. Like, it happens to the best of us.
This is what this whole time of the season's for. Like, congratulations.
Yeah, that's what these rituals are for. Yeah.
Like,
so, you know, it's okay.
You get into these situations and you sometimes forget to get out of them.
Yeah.
Ritual calendar honestly helps with reminder.
Yes.
But what I'm going to ask you folks to do here, especially during this time of year, is think about how you have fallen into your own negative ruts, your own negative routines, your own things that cloud your thoughts, and figure out, what can I do to wash this away from me for the next 6 months? Well, Doc, where can they find you?
Well, these days they can find me on Twitter.
Kinda.
But on mstdn.jp, on Tumblr, on Co-host, on post.news, pretty soon on Blue Sky, at Riverside Wings.
As for me, you can find me always at f.zoe.blackheart on Tumblr, Twitter, unfortunately, and Co-host. I generally try not to talk Shinto on those platforms because I have a life here for it.
Yes, and also we have a Clara account.
Mm-hmm. Especially on Tumblr. Please feel free to inundate that with asks about Shinto.
Yes, this is your invitation to bug us.
Oh, no, don't bug us. That has completely different connotations in my field of work. Bother us with words. Bother us with questions.
You're not going to be causing kegare if you're a meiwaku. You know, or not a meiwaku, a yakkai? Send us questions!
You ain't bothering
please.
Us. Please, put questions in our ask box.
Put your words in our box, and we will answer them in some manner befitting.
Either in text or on here.
Yeah, or on here. Mm-hmm. We have done that in the past. We would love to do it again. You know, our thanks also, again, to Caitlin Ugaritz of Nanzan University for spreading the good word about our little show over here. And, oh my gosh!
On top of that, thank you again, Hasegawa-sensei, for all your hard work. For you, dear listener, to just listen in. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, this is possible thanks to you.
Mm-hmm. You did this. Anyway, happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride, everyone. Stay curious, stay in awe of nature.